Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Wicketgate magazine. And we're continuing with the series, What Saith the Scriptures? And we're going to look at the last two books of the Bible, the Epistle of Jude and the Book of Revelation. So we'll begin with the Epistle of Jude. It wouldn't be wrong to say that the Epistle of Jude expresses the dilemma of many a pastor and teacher within the ranks of the churches of Christ. In his opening statement, Jude tells his readers that it was his original intention to write to them of the common salvation, but that he now found it necessary to write and exhort them that they should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In other words, circumstances had arisen that made it necessary for Jude to sound a warning bell against heresy and error that was going unchecked and almost unnoticed in some quarters. There is nothing more dear to a sincere pastor's heart than to feed the flock of God with the food of that common salvation that is their life and their well-being. For all that, however, where the wolf comes down on the fold or infiltrates itself amongst the sheep, then another part of the pastoral office is called for and must also be exercised. Where the shepherd spends all his time going out after the wolves, then there is a good chance that the hungry sheep look up and are not fed. On the other hand, if that feeding does not include the biblical proportion of exposure of error and such like, then he may simply be fattening his sheep for the wolf's dinner. The same rule applied to James and Paul in the foregoing, that we compare Scripture with Scripture, includes and involves the thrust of Jude's epistle also. Whereas, no one should be like Goliath walking up and down and inviting someone to come out and fight with him. At the same time, we must be prepared to be like David when the Goliaths appear and go out in the armour of God and to the honour of God's name. Nothing more dear to Jude's heart than to write of the common salvation, but nothing more present or pressing than that given point, than exhortation to the saints of God to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. If they didn't do the latter, then the day would soon come when there would be very little common salvation for them to rejoice in. It should not go unnoticed that Jude refers to himself as the brother of James. In that case, then, he comes into the same position as James himself, a brother of our Lord's according to his earthly family. His denunciations of those who hold to heretical views of the truth are like the blasts of some withering wind. The similarity between Jude and parts of the second epistle of Peter is apparent, and both are repelling the same kind of error. Jude's epistle is not all negative, of course. Even in the midst of that present necessity, he still turned an eye to the establishing of the Lord's people in their hearts and minds. For one thing, he refers to them the very words of Christ himself, that there should be heresy and heretics that they would rise up against the church in verse 17. Then he directs them to their own upbuilding in the faith in verse 20 and to the work of saving souls in verse 22. All is rounded off with his great benediction in verse 24. And thus ends our thoughts on the epistle to Jude. So we move on to a very short consideration of the book of Revelation. The Revelation, or the Apocalypse of John, presents every reader of the Bible with a piece of strange ground. Some, no doubt, think themselves well able to travel through it, but it may be the case that they are only wandering round in circles in it. One thing is clear, there is an ever-abiding lesson for the Church of our Lord at all times. Christ reigns. That truth was vital to the early believers who first set eyes on the message that John sent forth from the Isle of Patmos, where he himself had come under persecution for the testimony of Christ. And it is always vital, when it appears that the godless do triumph, all virtue confounding, it is essential that we set our eyes on the great central scene of Revelation, the Lamb in the midst of the throne. We may note the fact that although these immediate churches were under great persecution, they were still to be faithful. That is the burden of the seven letters in the opening chapters. Things have not changed. Amen, and may the Lord bless our thoughts as we draw to a close this series, What Saith the Scriptures? Thank you for listening to the series. I trust you found it a blessing to your souls. This was another podcast from the Wicket Gate magazine, which can be found online at www.wicketgate.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Every blessing. Bye.